Lord, would you open up our hearts and open up our understanding as we open up your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You're going to remember or be reminded of having read or listened to some of these verses before, and that's really good. Peter says, you know, he writes to the church and he says, I'm going to stir you up by way of reminder. See, we'd rather be stirred up by words of revelation, me too, because it's something new and gripping and grabbing and whoa. And he said, and you need that, but you also need to be reminded of the last word of revelation that you got that didn't grab you or stir you or cause you to move. Don't clap, it'll slow me down, but I like it. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing. So faith comes from hearing. Got it? Faith, how does faith come? Well, I hope. No, that's not. Faith, I want, I wish. No. Faith comes by hearing something. And a lot of times people say, I'm believing for this. Why? Because I need it real bad. Well, that's not a bad thing. But to have faith, faith comes by having heard. The still small voice, the quickened word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, the word of God, the word of Christ, depending on what version of the scriptures that you study. And then by faith, faith comes by hearing, I heard him say, okay? By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. Enoch walked with God, the Bible says, and he didn't die. That's peculiar. Sends everybody. Anyway. He was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Now, what did he do that was so pleasing to God? Doesn't say. Man, would you like to have that interview? So, Enoch, dude, how'd you do it? How'd you make him so happy? Well, what he would say is, faith makes him happy. I mean, he's not saying that. I'm saying that. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. The Amplified says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I need that one. I need to be diligent in doing it. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Isn't that what it says? Well, I don't know. This happened and that happened. I must not have had enough faith. What'd you hear? What did you hear? I can remember first funeral I ever did was for a little girl who died of cancer. And man, we prayed our wheels off. We did everything you could possibly think of. We prayed, we fasted, we worshiped, we did a whole bunch of stuff. I had internationally known prophetic people come up and pray over this little girl. And they kept saying, is she going to live? And I said, I haven't heard anything. I said, I'm going to be straight with you. But it's not dependent on whether I hear something or not. You know, I'm not the prayer police. I don't run the thing. I'm just being honest and transparent with you. I've prayed. I haven't heard anything. I can't speak out of what I have not heard. And well-meaning, kind, loving people came to them and said, oh, God's going to heal your daughter. No problem, no problem. The Lord told me this. The Lord told me this. The Lord told me this. The Lord told me that. But most of them didn't come to the funeral. And it was impossible. And so I called my prophetic friend. I said, hey, man, here's the deal. And he said, well, I did hear something, but I didn't want to tell you because I want you to reject it. I said, okay, what? And he said, well, I saw her bed and it was made and I saw her closet. This is a very peculiar, insightful man. And he said, and I saw her little dancing shoes put in the closet. And the door then closed. I said, you're trying to tell me she's not going to make it. He said, that's what I heard. Don't believe it and don't receive it and fight against it. So I did. And the people were so distraught. I mean, these poor kids, because they also had other children. And their little girl that died was Jennifer. My little girl who was the same age was Jennifer. Man, that was a tough time to be there. And At the end, I was walking him home out of the hospital after everybody else had gone. They said, "Why didn't God ever speak?" And I said, "Well, he did." "What do you mean?" "Well, he did. What did he tell you?" I said, "He didn't tell me anything." But I said, "My prophet friend had a word from the Lord, and I did exactly what he told me to do. I rejected it, and I refuted it, and I fought it. I was against it." But didn't happen. Happened this way. He said, "But you never told us she was going to be healed." And I said, "I never heard anything. And how could I look you in the eye and say, by faith, I know your daughter's going to live?" And I said, "By faith, I can tell you, God is a healer. His word says so. His name says so. His nature says so. By his DNA, he's a healer. And just because I haven't been able to put you into contact with his power to heal doesn't do anything to his power to heal." Right? Are we good? And you know what? That comforted them crazy good. Because someone had heard and the Lord had spoken. And so, what about all these other people? I said, they meant well. Their intention was to love and comfort you. But it couldn't, because the Lord hadn't said that to them. It was, I can pick up the Bible and take you those verses and show them people getting healed in the Bible, and I'd stand on that thing and pray for those people. Absolutely. But you're asking me, did I personally in my heart hear something that I could respond to and say, "I don't care what you say, this is what's going to happen," because I know that he said that's what's going to happen. And I've had situations like that where I've stood on things like that, and doggone it, that didn't happen. See, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Because he didn't want people not to care for those people, but he didn't want them to promise things that they couldn't fulfill. Because if the Lord says something, it didn't matter what the circumstances look like. Right? I mean, Mary and Martha were pretty upset when their brother died. A few days later, they were thrilled. And the guy they were mad at, they were fixing dinner for. Are you with me? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, I'm going to read you a verse. I'm making that thing hot today. How many of you have a passage from Jeremiah 7 pasted on your refrigerator? It's a sin to lie. I'm going to give you a verse here that'll blow your doors off. And if only people had lived by these words. Jeremiah chapter 7. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." So this is God speaking. The God of Israel says, they're getting ready to make sacrifices and all that. He says, "Add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the flesh if you will. It will avail you nothing. For in the day that I brought them," he's talking about the children of Israel, "out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing I did command them, listen to and obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you'll be my people, and you'll walk in the whole way that I command you, that it may be well with you." His main thing was, I'm going to speak, and you should listen and respond. And now, you go through the Old Testament, there's a boatload of things. You got to do this, and you cut this, and you burn that, and you know, and then there are all of the different feasts and fasts and all that kind of thing. He said, I, when they got out of Egypt, I never said, "Hey, about time to do this stuff." He didn't say any of that. He said, "Listen to me. Let me speak to you. And then just do what I tell you." Isn't that something? That rewrites the Old Testament in a significant fashion, doesn't it? But that's what he said. This is what I wanted. How many of you know God never changes? Can't, right? So what does he want today? He wants you to believe that he speaks. Without faith, it's impossible. Please, God. He wants you to believe that he speaks. And he rewards people who believe that he speaks. That's what it says. I want you to know that you have to know who I am. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You first have to know who I am and believe who I am. Because the last part of that is, Because I reward those who try to find me. It's so hard for people to believe that God rewards them. Do you believe that God is a rewarder? Now, don't put your hand up on this one, because I'm taking a photo, so don't. Have you ever done anything that you don't think is rewardable? I meant like today. No, really. But think about it. Here's what I wanted. You're finally free. I got you out of slavery. I brought you out of Egypt. You don't have to be around those guys who worship the sun and the Nile River and all these other crazy things. By the way, do you know all of the plagues, each one of them was addressed to one of the gods that Egypt worshiped? It was spitting in the face of each one of the gods that Egypt worshiped. I think that's pretty cool. They worship some weird stuff, but they said, when I brought you out, what I was looking for is now. Think about it. Do you suppose on their march out, coming across the Red Sea that had been split, suppose God might be singing any songs of deliverance over those people? Yeah. Suppose they heard it? Oh, no, they didn't act like it much. He said, what I was really looking for is for you to hear my voice so that I can be the rewarder that I want to be. They didn't know him like he needed to be known. And they were mostly afraid of him, in fear of him. You don't know anybody like that, he said. Don't look in the mirror. Sometimes we're so driven by fear, it's very difficult to hear that still small voice. It really is. It's hard to hear that he's singing songs of deliverance over me because I'm so beaten down and I'm so discouraged. All I want to know is why do I need this rescue? It's not so much that I'm really begging for you to rescue me. I just want to know, how did you let me get into this situation? Haven't you ever thought that? Yeah, that doesn't work very well. I cried out to the Lord, why did you leave me down here in this hole? And his answer to me was, you dug it. That's exactly what he told me. I heard it clear as a bell, and I thought, why do you speak so clearly on these things? Well, you know. And they told me a marvelous thing. I said, you got to get me out of here. I mean, the worst thing I know how to explain this, and I know I've shared this with you before, but I was so bad, I was driving a borrowed Pinto. Because I had one that had blown up. That's how bad it was. You ever driven a four-cylinder Pinto with an automatic transmission? You could just see those little chinchillas going, you got to quit this. You know, it's a hill, man. We're not going to make it. And that's when I said that to him. And in fact, I was at an intersection of a gravel road, and the sun was so shining, you just couldn't see anything. You know, gravel, almost like a fog. And I jumped out of the car and screamed at him. I said, why'd you leave me down here in this hole? And he said, you dug it. And I said, you've got to get me out of here. Can you see what I'm driving? You know. And he said, I can't do it. I mean, I thought, well, you can do anything. He said, I'll crawl in there with you. That's all I needed to hear. Things didn't change immediately, but man, I did. I stopped at that stoplight in a Pinto and I drove off in a Bentley. Something had happened to me on the inside. See, faith comes by hearing. And I didn't hear anything that I wanted to hear. I was thinking, okay, you know, you're going to win the lottery and you're going to, you know, all these kind of things that need to happen. Didn't happen at all. But he rewards those who seek him. And what I really needed was for him to come and sit on the throne of my life and be the king and be the governor, you know, the ruler, and for me to know it and love it and respond to it. He wanted the people of Israel, his covenant people, after they'd been in the worst situation they'd ever been in, to hear, to listen, hear, and obey what he said. Are you with me? So you can just hear Julie Andrews, you know, like, let's start at the very beginning. I'm going to speak, you're going to listen. It's that simple. It's not like, oh, man, we've got to do this. We've got to build these altars. No. if you would just hear me and respond correctly to me, things would change. You got to get settled. Wow. You have to get settled on the fact that he does speak. I've told a lot of people who've gone in for testing and stuff like that, I said, don't tell people you hear voices. Serious as a heart attack. Do not, because they don't understand what you mean. But I hear from the Lord. No, what you say is, here's what I heard in my heart. That's what you say. Because if not, you may be on an extended vacation somewhere that you don't. You see, it's not normal, we think, to hear voices. Are you with me? Son of Sam, the murderer, said that a dog told him to kill people. He heard it from a dog. Trust me, I could go with that. I'm not going to. Yeah. It really is a settled issue. God really does speak, and he really does want us to hear. And now, don't be mad at me, but look at me. Hearing from the Lord is one of the proofs that you're in relationship with him. Isn't it? I mean, I have kids, and they listen to me sometimes. Part of the proof of relationship is that we're in fairly regular contact, and sometimes they even want to know what I have to say. Or they've got me fooled. I don't care. We're in connection. And one of the proofs of the fact that you know him and he knows you is that he's talking to you. And that's a pretty cool thing. John chapter 10, verse 2. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And the watchman, that's the keeper of the door, opens the door for this man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. Now, obviously, he's not just talking about sheep. He's talking about us who are the sheep of his pasture and the people, right? The watchman opens the door for this man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. Hear and heed. That's the creed. I made that up. I won't make any more of those up, I guess. But hear and heed. Listen and do it. The sheep listen to his voice. Now, I'm saying this to catch your attention because I want to point something out to you that's pretty important. The sheep listen and hear his voice and heed it, and he calls his own sheep by name and brings them out. He knows your name. He knows your name. Now, he might be angry with your parents for what they called you, but he knows your name. And he said he knows those who are his. He calls them by name and brings them out. When he brought out his own sheep outside, he walks before them, and the sheep follow him. Shh, listen to me. Because they know his voice. Oh, I'm cool. He's God. He ought to know everybody's name. But now I got to know his voice. Holy responsibility, Batman. I mean, this is on me now. Him knowing my name is on him. Me knowing his voice is on me. Right? The sheep follow him because they know his voice, and they will never, on any account, follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers or recognize their call. And so it just infuriates me that you can know the voice of God. The Bible says you won't be tricked and follow a stranger, but every one of us will slip and fall and head the other way and run like a scared rabbit when we hear too much of the voice of the accuser. Hello? You know the voice of the Lord. He says you won't recognize or be driven by the voice of a stranger. But who do you know that has not been hassled or hindered by the voice of the accuser of the brethren? That's puzzling, isn't it? Kind of is to me. Revelation 12:10. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He accuses them before our God day and night. Wow. How strong is that? So the accuser of the brethren, this is, you know, Revelation 12 now, this is coming to the end of things, and he gets cast down, he gets kicked out. But it says that he's before the Lord accusing us unceasingly, all the time. Why? Because apparently we're pretty good at falling for it. Are you with me? So we won't follow that strange voice. We don't recognize it. But the accuser of the brethren says stuff. You know why we go for it? Because so much of it is true. I saw you in fourth grade. I saw you steal those pencils. I saw you steal that candy bar. I saw you let the air out of that tire for that teacher you didn't like. I better go over here, because for Trace and I, it might be true, is what I'm saying. But are you with me? I know when you lied to that girl. I know when you lied to that girl's parents. I knew when you were 13 and you stole beer from your dad's refrigerator and you and your friends went out and sat in the ditch and belonged there. Stuff like that. I'm trying to say things that don't incriminate me. All those things are true. They're true. Ah, but there's another king, right? And another kingdom. And another verse. Romans 8, therefore is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Whew. Set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. God did. Man, that's a really good thing to take the enemy to when he gives you trouble. Listen, all that stuff you're saying, but you know what? God did something. It says it right here. I got it underlined. God did. What you couldn't do, what the law couldn't do, what all the Pharisees couldn't do, what all the religious leaders couldn't do, God did. Now, this is a good one to have on your refrigerator. God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Any requirement that the law puts on you has already been fulfilled. Paid in full. Not guilty. Not innocent, but not guilty. Pardoned. Pardoned. When we were at Christian school, I didn't, because I was going to get in trouble with parents probably, but I was teaching the Scarlet Letter. Anybody ever read the Scarlet Letter? Yeah. Anyway. And, you know, a lady gets caught in adultery. Has to wear this big A on her shirt the rest of her life. So I was going to print up shirts with a big P on it to prove that you're pardoned. Anyway, I thought it was a good idea. I didn't do it. The thing is this, the enemy will come and accuse you and stamp all those things on you that you did. And you know what? He's right about most of them. Now, some stuff he'll make up, but a lot of things you did, I did, we did, that we shouldn't have done, and they were shameful. Some of them were illegal. After 10 years or so, they can't get you on that stuff. Right? Somebody that's an attorney tell me that's right. Okay. I just did stupid stuff. You know, some of them were illegal, you know, blowing up mailboxes and stuff like that. That's, you can't do that. And I saw people do that. That's the truth. Whether I was involved or not, it's totally... But the accuser comes and says, you did that. And this is where, you know, it's the shame game. He starts attaching your shame, your name to the shame, you know, right? And you can, I'm not going to do that shame game thing because I'll never quit. But do you understand what I'm saying? The Lord condemned all that stuff. Condemned it. You know what happens when he condemns stuff? It dies. And so the accusations made by the accuser have already been dealt with, paid for, time done, sentence fulfilled. And you say, you did that and you know it. I know it. But God did. God did something. And I don't have to keep any of the rules and the regs that you said I broke, because he fulfilled it all. And the law doesn't have claim on me anymore. And death doesn't have claim on me anymore. Aren't you going to die? Well, I used to youth ministry flat, you know, went before my eyes. I said, they asked me, well, aren't you going to die? Not if we fly, I won't die. That's what I used to tell them. Haven't used that one for a while. Oh, old Everly Brothers song, you know, Bye Bye Love. And I did a little thing, bye bye world, bye bye sinfulness. Anyway, I have to resurrect that. Reagan, we're going to do a song. Anyway, I'm not guilty in the eyes of the Lord. I am guilty in the eyes of the accuser, the condemner, but I'm not guilty in the eyes of the Lord. Guess whose eyes count? Now listen to me. Here's the issue. I have to be able to hear and distinguish the voice of the Lord so it doesn't get drowned out by the voice of the accuser. And we're really good at it. A, partially because we were guilty of some of those things. B, because every once in a while we looked back and said, well, that wasn't right, but man, that was fun. You know? And that's a lie too, because fun costs. Right? I used to tell kids, what do you think sin is? Sin is going out and shooting a deer without a license and getting caught on the way to the slaughterhouse. And you got to pay way more for that than you would if you just went out and bought a deer license. I grew up in, these kids were in rural Missouri, you know, so they understood what that meant. Don't let the voice of the accuser drown out the voice of the Lord. Because you get cut off from his kindness, from that still small sense of his presence, from the song of deliverance over you. You know, you have to understand, sometimes the song of deliverance is like dancing when they danced across the Red Sea. They were being delivered. By the time they got to their side, they'd been delivered. So sometimes a song of deliverance is what he has just done for you, not what you need to have him do in the moment. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's celebration. I had no way of getting out, and you got me out. Yes! That's a pretty good song. So, the accuser hasn't been cast down yet. The accuser's still there, right? He's still there until Revelation chapter 12. So, we haven't got that far yet. So, what's the Lord want? He wants us to believe that he speaks. He wants us to believe that he speaks. And when we respond, he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Good dad. He's a good dad. He's a pretty good king, too. And you need to know how to respond to him in both fashions, right? I didn't want to have a God that was a dad. Father, no thank you. I'd done enough father for the rest of my life. Didn't need that. But when I discovered how much the Father loved the Son, and I fell in love with Jesus, man, that's what happened to me. That's what washed my brains out. That's what changed me. And I go, oh, well, if you feel that way about him, he must be really good. And so you open yourself up. Then you find out, oh, yeah, he's amazingly good. That's why the accuser fights so hard against us, because if he can't keep us out of the kingdom, he certainly doesn't want us to prosper in the kingdom. He doesn't want our gifts and our destiny that God's laid out for us to be fulfilled. And he'll do anything to keep you from doing that. Why? Because he hates God. And consequently, since we're in God and God's in us, he hates us. Right? And he'll mess with your antenna so that you don't hear all the things that you need to hear. I have a friend who's a Christian. He says, God doesn't talk. And I said, really? The problem there is that People don't listen. Huh? Now, I don't know that I've ever heard the audible voice of the Lord. I think one time, you know, like, you know, where this Charlton Heston type of thing, you know, John, you're out of heaven. No, I don't hear that. I know people who say they often hear the audible voice of the Lord. I just don't. It doesn't. But you know when you're knower. Holy Spirit living in you. And it's like that, you know, it's like, I used to tell the kids, it's like Moses code, not Morse code. But I forgot that till now too. I'll forget it from now on. But there is a capacity of hearing. It's like the dog and the dog whistle, you know. Dog whistle blows, dog goes tearing across the lawn. That dog's crazy. I said, no, that dog's hearing something from his master. And you aren't doing what he's doing because you ain't hearing what he's hearing. Right? So what's important? Well, we've got to do this and this and this and this and this. All those things might be exactly right, but we do those things because of this motive. He loved me, and now I love him. Well, how about, you know, drinking and chewing and hanging around with those that do? I mean, all that kind of stuff. Listen, it's not the external stuff. Because he can clean that up pretty quick. How do you know? Somebody asked me about hominy last week. And I said, I only have an hour. You know, I really can't. But I hated hominy so bad as a kid. And my parents, when you, seven kids, not much money, whatever they put on your plate, you ate. And when they had hominy, I just wanted to, I would just say, I'm going to wake up and this will all be over. You know? And I almost vomited. I just couldn't stand the texture or the taste of hominy. Now, some of you may love it, and there's hope for you. But but I used to use this with young people in sin. Most of you haven't equated hominy in sin, but I told them, you know, sometimes, you know, I said, guys, haven't you ever walked into grocery store or the drugstore or something innocently, and you walk by the magazine rack, and all of a sudden, the magazine rack is saying, hey, big boy, check me out. You want to take me home? And kids would all go, like that. You know? And I said, you can defeat that. What do you mean? I said, if I go to the grocery store and I'm walking down the aisle, there's tomatoes and pork and beans, and there's a can of hominy. And that can of hominy says, hey, big boy. You want to take me home? I can turn my back and I say, depart from me, you wicked thing. You have no touch on me and you have no hold on me. You have no place in me. You can't touch me and I ain't touching you. Go to the grocery store with me. I can do it. But you know what he says in Colossians 3? Let these things like sin and adultery and idolatry and these things, you're dead to him. Whoa. And I said, guys, this may take more work, but I'm dead to hominy. It can't elude me. I mean, it can't. There's no imagination that where I think, oh, man, if I could only. No. Sin can be like hominy. Can. Because he says, you're dead to those things. Lord, show me ways. Grow me up. Instruct me. Let me hear your voice. Let me be rewarded enough times by you that I can live that way about all this stuff that sometimes does infatuate me, that sometimes does try to get a hook in me. We're human. You'd be surprised if you could see us. We just got hooks in us everywhere. Right? And the enemy's always trying to set one of them. You really can be that free, because it says in Romans chapter 8 that all that stuff has been condemned and it can't have me. And all the things that the law would say to me to have to control over me, I'm dead to. Whew. Now you got to be able to hear that. Are we okay? Oh man, you guys are listening really slow. That seems to be a problem here. Let me see where I am. Oh, not as bad as I thought. There's a, on page three there, or two, page two, excuse me, there's a two paragraphs I want to read to you. And now, look up at me. I never intended to get through all this today. I really didn't. I got six pages. And the kickoff's at 12, so, yeah. These two things I think are very significant. The enemy is quick to thwart the word to us with damning, condemning accusations that are aimed at us doubling down and enforcing stricter regulatory restraints on our behavior rather than walk in the condemnation-free life of victory in Jesus. That's a mouthful, but that's a pretty good mouthful. You see, I hate using me as an example, but I just screwed up a lot. So when I first got saved, I would do something wrong or say something wrong. I was immediately, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was so sensitive. I love you. I didn't mean it. That's not what I'm like. I'm new on the inside, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then I'd say, so, my knowledge of the law wasn't good enough to keep me from sinning, so I'll add more laws. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And that's what almost every human being does. I'm gonna lock down, man. I ate two pieces of cheesecake. I ain't never gonna do that again. I'm never going to a restaurant that serves cheesecake again in my life. That's a simple thing. But do you understand what I'm saying? We overcompensate. Rather than saying, Lord, I'm not walking in the freedom that you say that I have. I need you to grow me up so I'm walking with you, I'm partnering with you, and I'm not in this battle all the time, whether I'm just on the edge of screwing up or on the edge of obeying, but, oh, I'm walking with you. And I'm not, I'll lose the desire to do that if you help me. Instead of adding all these rules, you got to do it more, you got to do it harder. Not only that now, if you're really putting the screws on it, you tell everybody else, I'm not going to do that, and you shouldn't do it, and here's what you should do to keep you from doing what that thing I did. You'll have few friends for a short period of time. Because this is what it means to be holy, and this is what it means to be righteous. And I'll never do this again until I do it again. The answer to being free from the law is not to add more rules and regulations. I was unable to govern my life from my mind, my will, and my emotions. So now I'll put more locks and loads here on my mind and will and emotions to see if I can govern my behavior. No, give your behavior to him. Lord, you say I'm free. I don't look free. I don't act free. I don't feel free. The word says I am free. You got to get that freedom that you say is already mine into an experiential reality with me. Help me. And just recognizing it, just acknowledging it, is you're now several steps down the road. Well, what if I mess up? Say so. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. Right? But we don't. The natural man, the flesh, loves religion, loves the law, loves to be hard on yourself and govern yourself because now my conscience feels better because I'm being bad to myself. And the Lord said, well, of course, that's why I redeemed you so you could live a life where you were bad to yourself. I mean, you look back and you think, that's so stupid. Why would I do that? That's 90% of humanity doing that. And it's not much better in the church. Yeah, yeah. Good. People are nodding. Thank you. Don't throw things. Now, I know this is really simple, but it's really important. I just think, here's Romans 8. Here's Revelation 12. That's at the end of the book. So the accuser isn't out of here till the end of the book. What's that mean? It must mean he has a way of causing us to live above the sound of the voice the accuser. And it's called the blood of Jesus. It's called the non-condemned life in Jesus. Well, that sounds good. Dude, it is good. Well, do you do what's right all the time? You're not going to trick me because I'd say yes and that's a lie and then I wouldn't be doing anyway. No. But you know what? It's available. It's available. Well, how do I do it? Well, kind of starts like this. Faith comes by hearing. You first got to believe that God is, and that he is who he says he is, and that he was a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Isn't that simple? But see, hearing him is so significant. And a good number of people, a good number of, I'll say, religious people, don't think God speaks. No, Bible's done, it's finished, and God doesn't speak. Dude, has the Bible ever changed? No. Has God ever changed? If he said, listen, guys, when you came out of Egypt, I really wasn't looking for all the sacrifices. I was looking for you to listen to me, for us to have relationship, connection, and let me share the things with you that'll keep you out of more trouble. And if you just do them, it'll go well with you. All you got to do, we got to have this connection, and it will go well with you. I don't know how well you know the Lord, but if he says it's going to like go well, that's like really well. You know, like somewhere in there with super abundancy above all that you can ask or think. Are we good? So number one, you got to believe that God speaks. Now, I have friends that, so well, the Lord told me to go to Arby's. Of course, my thought was, I thought he loved you, but I'd go there too. So I said, really? He says, yeah, and I met this guy, and blah, 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 blah. He went to high school with my brother and hadn't seen this guy for 14 years, and I thought, that's awesome. Why? Well, it's because I went to Arby's. Oh, that's great. I don't always have the Lord tell me go to Arby's or anywhere else. Sometimes I find myself turning in someplace and I'm like, what am I doing here? That happens once in a while. But I just got to stop here. When we come back next time, I want to show you places in the New Testament where the Lord does everything but tie a guy's shoes. You need to go here. You need to do this. Turn here. Turn left. Go up there. Say this. And it's the Holy Spirit telling him that. Now, they didn't have the New Testament to read, but that's amazing to me. Why would he do that? Because he wanted to help the person that guy was going to meet if he did the things he told that person to do. Why? Because he loved somebody. Love will make people do crazy things. I'm not saying that was a crazy thing, but to everybody that was with this guy that didn't hear the Lord say that stuff, they thought the guy was crazy. You got to be willing sometimes for people to think, you might be a bit off. And don't have to go be crazy, but sometimes it feels that, why would you do that? I know when my friend Leroy was here and we were doing stuff together all the time, and he was in the hood, block off of 13th and Quindaro, where most of the murders at that time happened. And Kathy had never been down there, so I took her with me. Leroy says, you know where it is? Kathy says, well, he'll follow you. So I followed him. I knew where I was going. Anyway, pulled in, and I got out, and she got out, and he was fiddling with these keys that were going to show him the inside of the building, and there were gunshots. And Kathy looked at me. She says, don't ever bring me down here again. And Leroy said, God, it's good to be home. So sometimes it's hard for people to hear what one person is, welcome home. You know, I mean, there was relief on one person and absolute disaster alert, you know, on the other. I'm going to read these two paragraphs to you. I only read one, and then we're going to quit. The enemy is quick to thwart the word to us, damning, condemning accusations that are aimed at us doubling down and enforcing stricter regulatory restraints on our behavior rather than walk in the condemnation-free life of victory in Jesus. God wants to build a relationship with us and to provide guidance for us, so we need to practice his presence, value knowing him, and treasure the fact that he speaks to us. Lord, thank you for the fact that you care enough to go to the trouble of singing choruses over us just to prove, and sometimes it's your power and authority over the enemy, and other times it's just the fact that you've chosen us and you love us. Lord, thank you for the still, small voice of the Spirit of God that quickens us, prompts us, and awakens us. And Lord, thank you for the Word of God that Holy Spirit lights up so we can know what you're saying to us in the now. Lord, we just want to say today, we believe what the Bible says, that you are good, that you do good, that your desire is for us to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, to be led by the voice of the Good Shepherd, to not be tricked by any strange voice, and to learn to separate and live above the voice of the accuser. We want to hear you, Lord. And the wonderful part about it is that you really want us to hear you and respond to you. Wow, that is so rich. It's so wonderful that you are who you are, and we don't have to now lay on the floor for 3 hours and beg you to speak. Lord, all we do is say, Holy Spirit, would you calm us, give us peace, so our ears can be quickened. We can hear what you're saying, and we can have the gratitude in our hearts to leap and say yes and do what you're asking us to do. So, Lord, I'm asking now, between now and the next time we come together like this, talking about these things, that people will experience the songs of victory, that new song, song in the night, and that people will experience that still small voice. I felt like you told me to do this, and I did it, and wow, it worked. We ask for those things to be distributed among us. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we declare that you are the healer, the great physician. Lord, you are the shepherd of the sheep. And I ask, even for those, especially if someone has a physical ailment and they're scared or they just feel a little bit lost, and I ask, Lord, for you to quicken an understanding in their heart and get them right back in alignment, right back in walking with you. And when I'm praying that, I'm seeing an icebreaker-type boat, you know, where it goes through there and plows it and just knocks it out. Lord, would you clear the clutter? Make the impossible passage passable and cause people to go safely to the other side. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you can go home.